Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezus Hashem, Shalom Bayis Shir number 420. This year, we're going to talk a little bit about physical intimacy and the healthy behaviors before and afterwards. And I mentioned this a few times over the course of giving these shiurim, in that my nature is to be quite uncomfortable discussing topics like this, when I sometimes have to re-listen to evaluate, and look at what I said, and I sometimes am completely surprised at myself because I would never imagine talking about these subjects. It is not extremely explicit. I had guidance from Rabbanim, from a Pesach, from others, basically saying that I should not be extremely explicit about anything. Privately, it could be more, specific questions. But at the same time, I do made a decision to be very forthcoming. And sometimes it is explicit. And it's very simply for the purpose of knowledge. And when I got feedback from this, some people don't like it. They're uncomfortable. And other people told me that they never heard this anywhere else, and to hear it straight, is healthy for them. And that's on that basis, that's why this is being said. So we're going to talk about a few different points regarding it. We talked once about frequency. We had a shiur, I think, specifically for it, but in a short nutshell of it, every married couple is different. And some of them are more aligned with one another, with the libido, and they could easily come up with a schedule or a frequency that works with them. In many cases, one has a high libido, one has a lower libido, in which case they really have to work with each other. And when it's very lopsided, when one has a very high and one has a very low, that could be quite challenging. And the idea is that regardless, it needs to be regularly and consistently. Now, on the consistency of it, it varies. The baseline poiskim, I saw this in the Stipler's letters. I saw this in a tshuva from Rabbi Yonason Steif that I think was written back in the 1950s, I believe, that in the Rabbi Yonason Steif's tshuva, I have to look it up again to look at the wording, but in his tshuva, there was a scenario where the wife experienced pain, and a lot of discomfort when engaging in intimacy, and the husband was very, very interested, and he wanted it like almost every night. And he, in his tshuva, was very sympathetic to both, and basically set the idea is of twice a week. And for that couple, he made it a psak because for her it was not a pleasant experience. Although I think these days with the hormonal medicines and lubricants, it's easier. But he basically in the tshuva explained to the husband, you can't pressure your wife to do more than that because it's hard for her even to do that I'm telling her about twice a week. And she's willing to listen to the psak, and you have to be accepting of that fully. And onto the woman, he wrote that I know it's difficult for you, but this is it's a big mitzvah and it's important, and you have to do everything you can to overcome the uncomfortableness of it for this. So the twice a week seems to be a baseline. That less than that is for the most couples not a healthy thing, no matter what the libido level is. As far as more, again, it's dependent on every couple. The idea is to have healthy communication. It's important not to deprive the one that has the lower libido to not to deprive the other, and the one that has the higher libido not to pressure the other. So there needs to be a healthy balance. And it's very important for the high libido person not to fall into pornography or masturbation and things like that. There needs to be a mutual understanding of sometimes when it's difficult, to be the wise adult and make healthy choices and work things through and figure out a compromise and get to a point. But the consistency is indeed the key, no matter what level libido it is. And again, if it's more than twice a week, that really differs from couple to couple. And it differs from tkufais to tkufais. There are times where they're very young and they don't have children yet, and it's very frequent. Sometimes when they're alone a lot, so the kids are shipped away and they have a good marriage and they're out of town and it's quiet in the house, they'll have more time and it'll be more frequent. And when there is babies born and a lot of young children all over, and the Kanaina are raising a big mishpacha, at that point it most likely will be less frequent. Cholila should not happen to anybody, but if there is a matzavim where there one or both have illnesses or whatever it is, then there's tkufas where it won't be even possible, and even when it is possible, there'll be some dry spells. And all these are tkufas of marriage, and it's understandable we had a separate shiur on explaining these different tkufas. But the idea being is that that it needs to be consistent. Again, it seems to be that from the letters of Paiskim and the ones I mentioned, and I've seen it in other places too, that they should strive, even if both of them have a low libido or one has a high, one has a low, to strive for twice a week and to keep that consistent. And on the more you work it between the two of you, in a healthy way. And to briefly discuss another subject, masturbation, we are not going to discuss male masturbation on the men. It's clearly usher, and we're not getting into the halachic aspects of it now. And we had previous Urim talking about how to deal with that Yetzahara, because it's quite difficult to deal with, especially as a bacher. And we went through that, so we're not going to discuss that now. We're not going to discuss on the women's side either about masturbation on a halachic standpoint. I leave that for the Paiskim to decide, or to whatever they, if they ask a Shaila and what the Paisik or Rav tells them, you know. So I'm not getting involved in that. But if one did ask, or you know, or you heard, or you wisely asked, and they said it's mutter, or technically mutter, and it's no issue halachically of women masturbating, and I've had these questions asked on the WhatsApp, just typed questions like that, and I always said I'm not a paisik, so I'm not going to tell you us or mutter or anything like that, but I will tell you on the side that it is mutter. So on the side that it is mutter, on the side that it's permitted, if you were told that and that's the route you're taking in your life, what is still important to know that when one uses that as an escape, or uses it to avoid reality, or uses it to avoid or use it as a replacement from being sexually and emotionally involved with one's own husband, then it becomes a problem. And when I wrote this to people, and I made sure I said, I'm not asking you to fully agree what I'm saying, but do you understand what the risks are? And they all acknowledge, yes, we do. We do understand the risks of it. Putting the halachic aspect aside, you get a heter, or you were told it's mutter, no problem. But again, the idea being is that masturbation is about pleasuring yourself. It's about you. While physical intimacy in marriage is about the other, or it's mutual, it's about the both of you having each other in mind. And it's not a healthy thing if you're overindulging things like masturbation and you're focusing on your own pleasure and yourself. And what's going to happen is that when one's intimate afterwards with their husband, it's already going to be like in a focus on oneself, and it's sort of training your mind and body to that it's all about you and trying to get the most pleasure or orgasm or whatever using your husband, and it's not really about having a relationship with your husband and not really connecting with your husband, and that's not the focus. So that is the risks of masturbation, even in women, and even if one takes or was told the halachic view that it is permitted, it needs a lot of discretion. It's still not healthy for it to be used, you know, like as an escape, like we said. In addition, again, and halachically, again, you speak to Paiskim. If Shemar of Khan's listening to this, he could add halachic perspective on this. It seems like the loisasuru, the isurim of watching your eyes and the masturbation is way, way more strict by men than it is by women, in that men are, we don't need the Torah to tell us this, but it's clear they're more visual and they need more shmirah in these areas. But that doesn't mean that the woman is not negatively affected. You know, it's unhealthy. It's unhealthy to be the loisasuru of pornography or watching things or seeing things they shouldn't think of. And even when masturbating, if you're focusing on these unhealthy fantasies, that's certainly unhealthy. If you're focusing and thinking about your husband while you're masturbating, maybe it's a different story, especially if it's before intimacy. If you want to get into the mood, maybe that is a point to prepare yourself for that. I'm not going to get into the details of this. It's more of a halachic thing. But the idea is when you use it too often, you start training your mind, becomes wired to view sexuality as a solo sport, as a one, just yourself interaction instead of being a point of connection with your husband. And that is really not a healthy thing. Another thing we're going to talk about briefly is lubricants. Lubricants, very, very clear, and this is very important. No one should feel bad or make a spouse feel bad for the need of using lubricants. It's there for a reason. And it could be many, many reasons why the body doesn't develop their own natural moisture and they need this. Everyone responds differently. It doesn't mean you don't love your husband or that the marriage is not good or the sexuality is not good. That's false. And the idea it's very often needed. And even when it's not so needed, if it can make it better, why not use it better? If it's more pleasurable to use it, then use it. There's no reason not to use it if it enhances the experience for both husband and wife. And this is more where you need to see, could be that some of them, there could be allergic reaction. So you have to do research and make sure there is no allergic reaction, because some are allergic to various types of lubricants. But once you do the research and you know there's no allergic issue, it is a healthy thing to use, especially with women in the menopause state. At that point, they experience very often, besides other types of symptoms, and the physical intimacy could be very painful and extreme dryness sometimes. And that is where it is so important that whatever stigma or uncomfortableness that one has against using lubricants have to be dropped in that tkufa, especially in that tkufa. You use as much and whatever is needed to make it as pleasant as possible, without any questions, without any afterthought. Many women, if you speak to them, they have akmas nefesh about it. They want to enjoy the sexual experience. They want to be with their husbands. They want to be connected, but it's often physically painful, and the husband needs to be kind and compassionate to his wife in that period, especially in that period. And the woman herself needs to be kind to herself. And she needs to realize that it is a healthy thing. And that is an important thing. Never, there's no downside of using it if it's going to enhance the relationship. And don't overthink or even pretty much think at all about whether, you know, you need it this much or you don't need that much. It is not... And even on, and again, it goes on the men's side also with their issues as they age or they have hormonal issues. And if they need whatever the medication or treatment is in order to have a healthy physical relationship with their wife, they should get themselves that help and availability to make their that aspect of their marriage a pleasant And I know for a lot of people it's embarrassing. For a lot of people it's uncomfortable. But ultimately, it's the best thing for the both of you, and it's the right thing for the both of you. So it's important to do. Another thing is just the Menschlichkeit of the way you talk and interact before having relations and after having relations. After having relations, for example, you chalila, you don't say any negative comments. You know, some people would say, even if you're joking, like, I'm glad it's over, or something very, mean and mean-spirited like that. Or, okay, I checked my box, we're yaitza, we're done for a couple of days here, these types of things that people, believe it or not, are that insensitive. And what is a good, healthy thing to do after physical relationships? To talk to each other, to cuddle. Cuddling now could be that one spouse enjoys it very much, the other one doesn't enjoy it that much. But for the sake of the shalom, they try to do it. Sometimes the woman, because of fear of urinary tract infections and things, that after relations they need to go to the restroom and clean up and all that. And then they could come back and cuddle. But if they both love it, fantastic. If one does like it, the other one doesn't, they should really still try to work on to accommodate each other. And then here's a question about thank you. If after having relations, you say thank you to your spouse, it's an interesting thought. And this, you could look at it two opposite ways. My initial way of the way I am and the way I feel, but again, there's an opposite view too. But the way I feel is thank you is simply expressing hakaras hatov. And if you mean it sincerely and you're saying thank you, that I appreciate being with you and I appreciate that very much and I don't take it for granted, then that thank you is a beautiful thing. Now, the other one shouldn't say you're welcome. If anything, the other one should answer thank you back, like I thank you as well. So thank you could be an hakaras hatov. Then the other side to say that thank you could be taken the wrong way is because usually when people have interactions and they thank you, you're welcome, thank you, welcome, it's sort of like a reciprocal type of a relationship. I benefit you, you benefit me, thank you, you're welcome, I buy something from the store, you give me the product and I give you the money, thank you very much, it's reciprocal. And if you say thank you after relations, people will have this tendency to think it was some type of business deal. But if you take it that way, then maybe thank you is not the right word. But if you know each other and you know that you use the word thank you always just to express honest, true feeling of hakaras hatov, then that's a healthy thing to do. That's a healthy thing to do. You could say things like, I enjoyed it very much, and I know it's a vulnerable time, it's a vulnerable time to even say these things, but these things could be extremely, extremely beneficial. If you say hurtful things afterwards, like I noticed you lost, you gained weight or whatever, these type of very insensitive things, you need to realize not only will it kill your sex life literally, it really creates a breach in the overall relationship. These are hurtful things. You have to use your common sense and you need to be menschlich and you always need to be respectful. Respect always has to be there. Before relations also, you could turn each other on. I'm not going to get graphic here. A woman could say, I'm wearing something new. Would you like to see it? Something provocative, suggestive. And a husband would love very often to hear that from the wife. And the wife sometimes would like to hear certain things from her husband. It's kedai sometimes to talk about these things. What would you say or do when we talk to each other about it? When we want to, be together or beforehand, what do you enjoy being said to you or being felt, or what do you enjoy having, doing, or whatever it is? And all of these things are very, very important. And to understand also on just the women's side in general, most women have it a hard time to feel romantic if their husbands don't talk to them in a respectful way or say something insensitive. It's hard for them to feel romantic and emotionally close when that occurs. And that's why it's so important to speak to each other with a love, with a care, and with a compassion. Bracha and Hatzlacha.